Today's scripture reading is Joshua chapter 3, 9 through 17. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground.
For those of you who are in my class this morning, you can see that I got back at Kylie for giving me all those words to put up on the board that I didn't know how to spell by giving him things like Girgashites and all that sort of stuff to read this morning. So it comes back around, Kylie. So, you know, he was putting my spelling prowess to the test for sure this morning in our class. It's great to see everybody here today. It's just wonderful to be able to worship the Lord together. I want to welcome everyone who's here, especially we have guests that are with us today. We're so thankful that you've come our way, and we hope and pray truly that you'll have an opportunity to praise the Lord today and hopefully be encouraged by His Word. A special welcome to the Hewitts. It's great to have Kurt and Kelly here with their kids. It's been great this last week at Recharge to see them, and George Robertson, other former Newland members, and it's been a great week. A special thanks to Doug Smith and Eldon Thorpe, who drove back and forth between the DoubleTree Hotel and John Wayne Airport so many times this week to provide transportation for people who needed it from the Recharge Conference. Also on Wednesday night, we had about 70 extra guests for dinner, and again, thanks to Eldon, to Phyllis, and to Marie for and others who helped for just a terrific meal. We were blessed by the fellowship we had with those that were with us Wednesday night, and several of us had the opportunity to be a part of that conference this week, and we all have been really encouraged by that. And if they're back down in this part of the state next year, I just really want to encourage everyone who possibly can to be a part of that. And also today, very special congratulations to our own Charlie and Margie Carmack. Today is their 69th wedding anniversary. Is that pretty cool? Yeah, and they spend it like they typically do, greeting people as they come in, serving others, serving the church. We just love you guys so much. We're so thankful that you are such an important part of our family here, and we give God glory for your nearly 70 years of marriage, and you're an example to all of us who would aspire to that kind of faithfulness, and it's just a blessing in the congregation to have brothers and sisters who've shown that kind of faithfulness and encourage all of us. Well, the Accelerator is a roller coaster at Knott's Berry Farm. It has powerful hydraulic catapult motors that will accelerate that train from 0 to 82 miles per hour in 2.3 seconds. In 157 feet of track, it goes from 0 to 82. It then turns 90 degrees, yes, straight up, 90 degrees in the air, 200 feet, 205 feet actually, straight up, and then it turns back over itself at the peak, twists back around and plunges, fortunately only 200 feet down, and then goes into two banks of 110 and 95 feet over bank turns, coming into the braking area at 67 miles an hour. From the time you launch until the time they hit the brakes is 22 seconds. which is much shorter than the time it takes to describe the ride. And I remember the first time I stood at the entrance to the line of the accelerator, and I had to make up my mind, do you want to ride? Do you want to ride? As I stood there and watched people blur by and felt the wind, and I thought, how do you go that fast that quick? I mean, you know, it takes my Dodge about a minute and a half to get to 82. I can't imagine it in 2.3 seconds. That's just absolutely amazing. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure what this is going to be like, but that bar comes down over you, you know, and you're pretty well locked in, and you're out of control. It's going to do what it's going to do at that point. And I'll never forget the first time I rode that. For me, I'll tell you what, I loved it. I loved the feeling. I loved the speed. I loved the exhilaration. I loved going straight up and turning back. I loved all that stuff. And there was just a sense of exhilaration. It was just so exciting. It just felt so great. And I just like that roller coaster a lot. I haven't been on it for a while, but I really, really like it. And I was thinking about that kind of exhilaration. We've been talking about a different kind of exhilaration in the last few weeks and talking about discipleship, and in a sense, kind of extreme discipleship. We talked quite a bit about Peter, you know, as he finally swung those legs over the boat and let go of the rail and went walking to Jesus. And in that moment, to truly know the power of God, because you can't walk on the water, but Peter did. And to know the power of Christ in him. And Peter wasn't looking for thrills. He wasn't looking for just a momentary high, you know, like riding a roller coaster. It was about faith and exercising faith. Remember, he said to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come to me, Peter. And he got out of that boat and did what no one else had ever done before other than Jesus himself. And that was to walk on the water to Jesus and to experience the power of God in his life in a way that he had never done before. And don't you know that that was a memory and a moment that Peter would keep in his heart for the rest of his life, and definitely would be something that would inform his life of discipleship and his faith growing and being ready to take a risk for the Lord on future occasions. We love stories about God's power, don't we? There's some of our favorite stories in the Bible is when we see the power of God at work, either in nature or in his people. When they come to Israel comes to the Red Sea, and their backs are against that, and the Egyptians are coming, and everybody thinks, you know, it's all over. But God tells Moses to raise his staff over that sea, and God parts that sea. He parts it so wide that 2 million people cross that section of the sea in a night. I mean, they cross it on dry land, and then when they get to the other side, the waters come crashing down. The Egyptians are swept away. You see the great victory of God. A few years later, when they come into the Promised Land, and they march around that city of Jericho for 7 days, and on that seventh day, after marching around it 7 times and blowing on those trumpets and calling out in the name of the Lord, the walls of that city just come crashing down, and the great victory of God's people begins in the land of conquest, the land of Canaan. And we see the power of God, and we're just amazed at God's power. Or later on in the days of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha's servant is saying, man, we need to get out of town because the Arameans have sent an army after you, and they're on their way. Can you not see them? And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And do you remember how his eyes, the eyes of the servant, were opened? And he saw chariots of fire all around the Aramean army. And all of a sudden, the Arameans are blind, and they're brought down to Elisha. And he leads them into the city of Samaria and turns them over as prisoner of war to the king, who sends them back on their way when their sight's restored, kind of their ability to see reality again. And they go back home, a demonstration of God's power. In the ministry of Jesus, the raising of the dead, the healing of those born blind, we see God's power, and we're amazed at the power of God. But these stories, as amazing as they are, and as much as we love the stories about the power of God, these stories and the knowledge of this power alone does not create courageous faith. You can know all of these stories, and you can know how powerful God is, and you can say, yeah, I really believe that has happened, and never in your own life step out in faith with the kind of faith that would be required for God to do something great through you or through me. Information and knowledge alone doesn't give us that kind of faith, does it? It's essential. We have to have that knowledge. We have to have that understanding about God. But we can all know the stories without launching out in faith. So often we have to take that first step. That's what that story is about. When the Israelites come to the Jordan River, after 40 years in the wilderness, they're in Joshua chapter 3. And it's interesting, isn't it? God's going to get them in to that land. They're going to cross into the land of Canaan, and the conquest is going to begin. But God has them do something kind of interesting, I think. He gets them right to the edge of that river, and he tells the Levites who were carrying the ark, you've got to step in the water first. You step out into the water, and then you'll see my power. Now, when I talk today about how we need to take the first step, let me just put a big major disclaimer out here first, okay? We never take the first step. God takes the first step. God usually takes the first step, the second step, and the third step in our lives, doesn't he? But then there comes a time for us to take our first step in response to what God has said or done. That's what I'm talking about when I use that expression. When I say we need to take the first step, we're not initiating anything with God. He's already done that. We're responding. But we have to have that act of faith in response to him. And in the story in Joshua chapter 3, it's not just acknowledging the fact that God can part water. It's not enough to say, yeah, God, we really believe that you can do that. God says, well, this is what I want you to do then. I want you guys to carry that ark, and I want you to step into the water. I want you to get your feet wet. I want you to take the first step. And Kylie read to us a moment ago what happened there in verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It stopped, and they stood in the middle of that riverbed, and they just stood there while all of the people of Israel marched through. But they had to take that first step as an indication of their faith and their trust in God. And often, before God allows us to experience his power, he calls for us to take that first step. He kind of invites us to respond to what he's done and show the faith that we have. And that may be why some people never experience the power of God in their life, because we don't take the first step. We never take the first step. We may be afraid to take the first step. We may doubt whether God can see us through if we take that first step. We may just be afraid. We may be angry. We just may be angry about something that happened sometime earlier in our life, and we're just not going to respond to God faithfully. We've just made up our mind that we're not going to. But when we have that, when we fail to respond and take the first step, we are not allowing God to display his power in us and to work through us. Here's the question I'd like for you to consider today. What are you doing in your life right now for God, for the kingdom of God, that you could not do apart from the power of God himself? What are you doing right now in your life for God and for his kingdom, for his glory, that you could not do if it were not for God empowering you and giving you the strength to accomplish it? If I look at my life and I think, well, you know, really, I'm comfortable doing this. I can do that. Where is my faith in God? Where am I allowing God to do more than I might be able to imagine him to do? Is there any challenge so large in your life right now that you know there's no way you could pull this off if God didn't help? There's no way you could do it on your own. In a couple of weeks, Mike Ray is going to stand up in front of us. A little foreshadowing here for you, brother. And he's going to talk to you about something that work that the elders want to give our attention to this summer. And when Mike first told me about it, I thought, these young kids, you know, come on, Mike, settle down. That's a little too big. That's a little too much. Pushing the envelope just a little bit. You know how these young kids are anymore, how they think. And I remember him saying things, and I'm just thinking, I don't think we can do it. I say this by way of confession, and in a week or two when Mike gets up here, maybe that's the first thought you're going to have, is I don't see how we're going to be able to do that, Mike. And the more I listened to my brother and saw him willing to step forward in faith, the more I was convicted, the more I was, in a sense, shamed. And I thought, you know what? We can't do this without God's help. It's not possible. We can't. We might as well just admit it. We can't do it. But that doesn't mean that it's not what God's calling us to do. I'm going to tell you, Mike, you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks on Mike, and you'll have to deal with him at that point in time. But I want to kind of let you know kind of where it hit me at first, because sometimes and often in God's Word, God is calling His people to do things that are beyond them. And it is a demonstration of faithfulness. It is the way of taking that first step so that then God can come and do what the people cannot do. You know, Moses can't part the Red Sea, can he? I mean, Joshua can't part the Jordan River. But God's people, we can take the first step, and God's power can be unleashed, and amazing things can happen. And that's what I'd like for us to be thinking about today. What am I doing personally in my life? What am I attempting to do right now for God that I couldn't do just on my own, that I would need God to help me with? If I want to walk on water, I've got to get my feet wet first and then experience God's power more directly and take God at His word. Before I can, if I want to take the risk of giving generously, it's only then that I can discover that God's going to be faithful to His word and take care of me. You know, when God tells me that I need to confess my sins to a brother that I trust, to confess those sins and to pray and to find spiritual healing and strength, but it's only when I'll step out in faith and do that, which is a hard thing for me to do, to confess those sins and to look for someone else for support, that I can find out that God honors that kind of integrity and that kind of confession and helps me to overcome sin and helps me to be stronger. God calls us to do things all the time that are hard for us to do. There's something that holds us back from doing it. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel easy. But we never really know that God is going to be faithful until we take that step and do it. God's given us gifts and abilities, and I'll never know how faithful God is to that promise that if I use His gift, He will give me additional gifts, or He will multiply those gifts, or use them in ways that I've never thought possible. I'll never know that until I take that first step and put that first one to work. It won't happen. I'll never experience that until I take that step. There's a principle here that so often God helps His people's faith grow by graciously inviting us to participate in His work by taking that first step. Do you remember Moses at the burning bush? And he was like, well, how are people going to know I'm really from you? Remember, one of the first things God said to him was, throw your staff on the ground. And he did. What happened to his staff? What happened? Turned into a snake. Okay, you're out in the wilderness. It's a snake. Highly likely, perhaps. I don't know how good of an eye Moses had. Maybe a venomous snake. And then what did God tell Moses to do? To pick it up. How? By the tail. I don't know a whole lot about snakes. But I've watched enough of, like, you know, Nature Channel or whatever. I've watched those guys pick up venomous snakes, and I'm pretty much sure you pick them up by the head, kind of right on the head, and you hold that jaw down. Because I think picking up a venomous snake by the tail is probably not a really wise thing to do in the wild. I mean, you're asking for trouble. And God says to Moses, pick it up by the tail. I would suggest to you that if Moses had walked away at that moment, he would have never known the power of God in his life. It started with him picking up that snake by the tail, taking that first step. I'm not saying Moses had trouble, didn't he? Moses had some issues right there, especially at first, before he really got into his role as the deliverer of Israel with God's help. He struggled. I mean, it wasn't just all uphill. I mean, perfection for him or success. He had his ups and downs. But it started with that first moment, that first act. He had to act. He had to respond. You think of Naaman, the Syrian general, you know, dipping seven times in the Jordan River to be healed of his leprosy. He had to, there was a response there. God could have healed him in any number of ways, but the prophet told him, this is what you need to do. And he had to act in faith. He had to respond. He had to take that step that demonstrated his trust in the word of God. When Gideon had that army of 32,000 to go fight the Midianites and was vastly outnumbered, God said, I want you to make the group smaller. And you know, through the story, he got them down to 300 guys, 300 men who really didn't even carry weapons when they finally went into battle. And it was like, okay, I'm here and I'm going to do some powerful things here, but you've got to show that you trust me. You have got to put your life on the line. You have got to take some steps that are going to be uncomfortable to you. And if I want to experience the power of God in my life and grow in my faith, it's very likely going to involve taking a few first steps. Even when you can't see where the staircase is going to finally go, it's going to take that. And that's true if you're a brand new Christian and you're just beginning to enter your life of faith and explore how God might use you or what doors of opportunity God might bring to you in your life. And it's true if you've been a Christian for 30 or 40 or 50 years and gone through whatever degree of maturation you have. I am continually facing, are you not? Those moments when I decide whether or not to take a step of faith or just hold back because it's a little fearful for me. It's a principle that holds true wherever you are in your spiritual development, that God continues to call us forward in faithfulness and just acknowledging truths about God and saying what a powerful God he is. And isn't it amazing how God acts so powerfully in the world? And through that in and of itself will not cause our faith to grow. There is a time to respond, to take the step, to get your feet wet. And you don't always know what that is going to mean. When you take that step, you don't always know where that journey is going to take you. It's like when you pull that T-bar down over you and you're sitting in that roller coaster for the first time. You're not really sure what that's going to feel like. And you realize, hey, there are forces here beyond my control. But with God, it's just amazing. When we truly put our lives in his hands, the places he takes us, the growth that we can experience, and our faith grows when we take these kinds of steps. How many of you have ever wished you had more faith? Is that kind of universal? I mean, oh, you've got enough. Okay, great. Fine, okay. There are three of us who think we should have a little more. Sometimes when I'm praying, I need to have more faith. I need to have more confidence in God. And I need to have more faith as I try to put this sin to death in my life. I need to have more faith when it comes to being a witness, a willing witness to people who don't know Jesus. Because I get afraid. I need to have more faith. Sometimes we just feel like we need to have more faith. And the Bible teaches us a lot about how faith comes about and the whole process of the growing of faith. But one of the things I think, one of the ways it doesn't happen is just to say, well, just try harder, just kind of grunt or something, and you're going to produce more faith. I read a story this last week, an author was saying about, you know, what if somebody came and said, you know, I really have trouble trusting Old Faithful. I'm just not sure it can be trusted. I just don't know, you know, silly story here, but what would you say? Well, just try harder to believe in Old Faithful? Or you might say, why don't you go to Yellowstone and sit there and watch this thing and pull out your watch and look at the timetable and just see. Get to know Old Faithful. Be around Old Faithful and you're going to find out Old Faithful really is faithful. You can trust it. You don't have to worry about it. Old Faithful will show herself to be what she is. When you and I want to have greater trust in God, it isn't about just trying harder. It's getting to know God. It's spending time with God. It's being around him in his word and in prayer and in a life of meditation and reflection. And since God is faithful, the more that we are around him, the more we see him at work, the more our trust and our faith grows, and we become willing to take that risk of obeying him and doing something at times when it might not be exactly what we would thought we might want to do. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, at the end of the movie, Indiana Jones has to go through three tests to find the chalice and to save his father who's dying. And he gets through the first two pretty well. And then the final test is called, for you Indiana Jones people, you'll remember, the Path of God. And Indiana Jones is going, you know, through this kind of this little rock hallway. And then all of a sudden, he just gets to this place. I don't know if you can see it very well in this photo, but it's it just ends. He's like in the side of a cliff, and he's just standing there, and there's nothing in front of him. It like drops like down, you know, 1,000 feet, and it's like 80 feet across. And he's supposed to get over there to get to the chalice to be able to, you know, finish out the movie and the puzzle and all this kind of stuff. And he's standing there and he's thinking, there's no way I can get across. There's no way I can cover this. And the only clue, you know, he always has, if you watch the movies, he always has these clues, you know. And the clue here is only a leap of faith, or only a leap from the lion's head will prove you worthy of the prize or something. Well, he's standing there at the lion's head, and he figures what he's supposed to do at this point is leap. The problem is, of course, there's nothing in front of him. And so, with his father saying, son, you have to believe, he steps out. He steps out into nothing. There's nothing there in front of him. He just steps off, and there's a chasm right there, and you would think he would just fall, but he steps off, and he doesn't fall. There's a force that holds him up, and he walks across that that pathway and gets to the other side, and of course everybody lives happily ever after at the end of the movie. Don't worry, Sean Connery doesn't die, but in case you were worried about that, that's just a movie, and it's kind of a silly story, you know. You're probably thinking, what in the world does that have to do with stepping out in faith? Well, it does have something to do with stepping out in faith. If we bring it over to a kind of a biblical application of that, Tim started it off this morning by telling us, without faith it's impossible to please God. You and I cannot please God apart from faith. We must believe that he exists, and we must believe that he will reward those who earnestly seek him. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. We have got to take God at his word. We have got to step out when we can't see what's in front of us. We've got to step out when we're not sure if that water is going to hold us up or not. We have to put our faith in God. We have to take a step of faith, and it's a matter of will. As I stood there at that sign for that roller coaster, I'm either going to get on or I'm going to walk away. And it's all up to me. It's up to my will. Will I get on? Will I walk away? Well, whether or not you ride a roller coaster is no big deal. But this is true when it comes to a life of faith. Either I will trust God and I will step out when it seems almost a dangerous thing sometimes to do, or something that's beyond my ability to do. But if God calls me, will I have the faith to step out as Jesus calls me to do things by his power that I could never do on my own? And if I do not take that step, I will not grow in faith. If you don't take the step, when God puts it out in front of you, you will not grow in faith. That's how we grow in faith. Taking God at his word, acting on that word, being obedient to him. And we take that step of faith, not because we're thrill seekers, not because we're looking for some sort of external exhilaration in our life, but because it's important to us to be faithful servants of God who bring glory to him and to the kingdom of Jesus Christ through our obedience and through our service to him. But it all keeps coming back to that comfort zone that we have. Yeah, this lady's standing in her comfort zone, and she's wondering whether or not she should step out of it. You know, we have that place where we feel totally comfortable serving God. We all do. Wherever you are today in your spiritual life, there are some things you can do serving God, and you are totally comfortable doing it. There could be a variety of things that you're totally comfortable doing, and you do them, and I do them, because we've done them before. God's proven himself, perhaps, or maybe sometimes it's like, this is a really subtle thing. It's like, you know, you have that ability. You know that's who you are. That's what your personality is. And it's almost like, I can do that. It's almost self-confidence. But there's that which is beyond us that isn't as comfortable for us to do. There are places where we lack that personal confidence. We don't, in fact, we don't have confidence at all. Perhaps we even have fear. And we're not sure how it might turn out if we take that step off the edge. We're not sure if there's going to be the power of God to support us, or if we may fall off and fall down and get ourselves hurt. You know, it could be teaching a class. Some of us have been teaching classes for years. To get up and teach a class is not a big deal for some of us. But some of us, it's like, I don't think I could ever do that. Maybe you're here among us today, and that's something that God is kind of pushing you to do. To find someone who can help mentor you and teach you how to teach, and to begin to put a talent that you have to use. We have folks like, we have ladies, sisters here, who work as mentors in the MOPS ministry. And I wonder sometimes, I don't know, I wasn't involved in getting that group of women together, and I'm not sure how they reacted to the opportunity to serve in that ministry, but I wonder if some of them thought, you know, I don't know, I've never really done anything like that before. But you know, you take the step of faith, you just do it, and you find out, whoa, I lived. You know, I survived, and it was pretty good. Or I learned this, and I can do it better next time. There are so many places where we feel comfortable, then there are times when we don't. I'm really comfortable talking to all of you about my faith in Jesus. I would imagine most of us are comfortable talking to each other about our faith in Jesus. We may not be so comfortable at talking about our faith in Jesus to someone outside of the church. It may be a little bit more difficult. It may be stepping out of my comfort zone to talk to my next door neighbor who I happen to know does not have a relationship with the Lord. Or maybe I even already know he doesn't really want one at this point in his life. That may be a harder place for me to go. I may not have the comfort to do that. I may have a comfort of stepping out into one ministry in the church, but then there's something else, some other opportunity that I hold back on because I just don't have the comfort to do it. There's so many areas of ministry or service. You know, I like getting along with my brothers and sisters in Christ, but you know, when something goes wrong, I'm kind of uncomfortable going to that brother or sister and actually talking about whatever it is that's happened between us. Whether I have something against them or I know somehow they've got something against me, and Jesus has told me to do that, that is a step of faith in Matthew 18 that I'm supposed to take. But you know, I don't know what's going to happen. If I go talk to them, maybe it'll get worse. Maybe it'll just blow up in my face. Maybe I just shouldn't do what God tells me to do because things could just, you know, could fall through. It's amazing the times when God is directing us, encouraging us to do things in His Word, where we find reasons to hold back from the things that God wants us to do. But one way to increase your comfort zone is just to take that step of faith. Knowledge of God's power alone, excuse me, doesn't increase your comfort zone. It doesn't make it easier to go further. You have to take the step. That's just the process of building faith, isn't it? We know that. We have to take those steps, those little leaps of faith. And sometimes maybe a way of looking at this is we've just got to get out of the boat a little bit every day. I'm going to do something, at least for the next 30 days. And I'd like to encourage any of you who'd like to do it as well. This first part is a real easy thing to do. The next month, I'm going to begin every day with prayer. And I'm going to pray specifically that God will open up my eyes to what He wants me to do that very day. And in the days to come, it's getting me just a little bit out of the boat that I'm in. Lord, what step do I need to take today? Show me a situation today where I need to move forward in my faith. Make it clear to me. Here's an opportunity. Help me to see it, Father. Give me the wisdom to see it. Give me the courage and the faith at the moment that it comes to step forward. And God, during this month, open my eyes to the kinds of things You might want to do to my life or through my life if I completely gave myself over to You. I want to challenge every single one of you, encourage you to pray that prayer for the next 30 days. Because I believe if we truly pray that prayer in faith, that God will answer that prayer. And that God will open doors of opportunity. And God will help us to see things that we need to do. And little steps we need to take. Just a little step day by day until perhaps God opens up something we would have never imagined would have come our way. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you this personal guarantee. If you will do that for the next 30 days, and at the end of the 30 days, truly praying and believing, at the end of the 30 days, if God has not shown you anything, if nothing's popped up on your life or on your horizon, on your radar, if nothing has become clear for you, I'll buy you a one-year pass to Knott's Berry Farm, and you can ride the accelerator every day for a year as a punishment for lying. Because if you do that for 30 days, is not God going to open a door of service and ministry to you and me? Are you kidding? You think God is sitting there and we're praying, God, open my eyes. Help me to see what you want me to do. Show me where I need to go in my life. God, I know I get afraid and I hold back. And yeah, I'm real comfortable doing this, but you probably have other things in store for me. Do you think if we prayed that way individually or collectively, God would just say, well, I don't really have anything else for you guys to do. God is going to answer that prayer. God is going to honor that kind of faith. And I don't know, it's like, say, I don't know where that ride's going to go. You know, I don't know how high that one's going to shoot up or maybe even how it's going to plunge down. I don't know what it's going to be like when you strap in to that ride. But, you know, look to God for the actions that you need to take now. Amazing things rarely happen in your comfort zone, especially in the life of faith. Think about anybody in the Bible you can think of where God really worked amazing things in their life. Most everybody in the Bible, it never happens in their comfort zone. It's always a matter of growth and pushing, always. And it's the same with us. What is it that God is pushing you to do? Is it to contact someone that you've been avoiding talking to out of fear, but you know it's a relationship that needs to be mended or given some attention? Is it that God would have you express your faith to someone that you've been afraid to share your beliefs with, or to reach out in friendship to someone you know they need a friend, you know they need someone to come alongside and be a blessing and encouragement to them, and God's put them in your life, and it's time to take that step? Maybe it's that pesky ministry leader who keeps coming up to you and saying, hey, we could sure use some help here. And you can say, oh, no, maybe one of these days. Maybe it's time to say yes. You know, maybe it's time just to say, okay, enough, I'll do it. And see what God does. See what door he may open. Or maybe it's saying, you know what, I want to start training as a teacher. Do you want to start training as your teacher? Come to one of the elders and say, look, I want some help. I want to be an adult Bible school teacher. I want to be a children's Bible school teacher. Can you pair me up with someone who can mentor me, who can help me, who can give me some equipping for this ministry? Because I really feel like God is calling me forward in this. Just decide to use your energies to serve others and to glorify God. And it may be devoting yourself to intercessory prayer. Some of us who may not have the physical strength we once had can devote ourselves into intense prayer on behalf of the lost and the church and others, and make that our full-time ministry, a spiritual ministry of prayer. And it doesn't matter if the steps turn out exactly as you planned. You know, the last couple of guys that have come along in our congregation, I think I've got this right, probably Logan and Caleb are our newest walkers. I know they've got it perfected now. I mean, they're running now. You know, especially Logan's a little bit older, I think. But, you know, you remember when they started walking? You know, and they kind of do that whole thing, they fall down. Can you imagine a kid going, oh, I hurt my knee? And that was the most humiliating thing that's ever happened to me. I am never walking again. I am crawling forever. I'm never taking another step because, you know, I took a step. And I hurt my knee, and I know that 2-year-old over there just really laughed at me. It was totally humiliating. What do? They get up, and they go again and again and again, and they hit their head on the coffee table. You know, all the stuff we do when we're little and we're toddlers. And now look at them. Man, they're just running all over the place. You know, we can't keep up with them. They can outrun us. But it's okay. It's okay if you stub your toe. It's okay if you fall down. Just get back. Should we not expect, if we're taking steps where we've never walked, we might stumble here and there. That's all right. Peter fell beneath the waves, but Jesus pulled him back up, and Peter did pretty good as an apostle and a disciple of Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. It's okay to not know exactly how the things are going to turn out, but the more that we get out of that boat a little bit every day, our comfort zone, our spiritual comfort zone, grows wider. I'm telling you what, this is just true for me. I may have a slightly bigger comfort zone than some people. I mean, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. I ought to have a pretty good sized comfort zone. But you know, I know where the boundaries of it are nonetheless. And I don't like going across it. It doesn't really matter how big my comfort zone is. It's my unwillingness to step across it and to attempt something I have not attempted before. This last week, the Recharge Conference, there's this little church in Ripon, California. And my wife's dad actually started the church there. Ted Metcalf, he and another guy that were working, he was working at the Chevy Parts House. They moved to the town. They did some door-to-door stuff. They started, the Church of Christ started meeting in Ripon back in the early 60s. And now here come these young guys. And, you know, guys like Kurt and like Caleb. And there's these young guys who get together and say, well, why don't we just have this conference and just make it a real practical ministry? And I'm thinking, this is a small church. These are young guys. And then I look at myself and I'm thinking, I can learn from these guys. These guys are willing to take some steps. They're willing to do something. Maybe it falls flat maybe it just falls flat. But you know what? They're doing something. They're seeing where God wants them to go, and they're taking steps. It's so encouraging to me. You know, I'm not one of those older people in the church. Who would have thought that would have ever happened? But, you know, it has. And it's like I look to the younger generation, and I see their faith and their boldness and their willingness to step out. And I'm convicted, and I'm challenged by it. And I'm grateful for it. And I just hope and pray that as you look at your life today, you can think about stepping across that line to where you have not been willing to go. Just taking that step of faith. What step do you need to take? What step do you need to take today? Swing your legs over the side of that boat, let go of that rail, and get your feet wet. And see what the Lord has in store for you, and know the power of God. Not just to know the power of God, that's not what it's all about. But to know the power of God and be a faithful servant of His, bringing glory to Him for the service and the ministry of your own life. To take that step of faith. And if you've never come to know Him, if you've never taken that step to Jesus, it is only a step. It's a major step in your life. It's a big step, but it's a step that you can take, a step of faith, to put your faith in Jesus Christ and the blood He shed on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, to take a step of faith and repent of the sin in your life that's just brought you down and determine that you're going to live your life for Jesus Christ. Take the step of faith and be baptized into Christ so that your sins are forgiven, that you're given the Spirit of God to live that new life and to take hold of Jesus' hand and go wherever He takes you. It's really only a step. But wherever you are today, think right now, what is the step that I need to take? And if you need to take a step to Christ as Lord, we invite you to come. Let's stand together as we sing.